Blog Talk Radio.
Boy Journey Bray. I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm Chad Hansen on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, Man Cabbage, packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again. John Blazing, ghost writing, striking lightning. Call me Thor, control the flow, I'm Poseidon. When I'm writing, took the score of my life through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype. Sound freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again. One more song, open mics, I was killing them. Now you feel the power, the present is the gift, and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming. Lightning bullets in the hundreds in Chicago in the summer. From some youngins in the hummer. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this thriller. Play, bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we commute through your stereo. This is Journey Brave, and you are now tuned in to the G Hour Show.
Welcome, welcome, my peoples. Welcome, welcome. The Hour Show in the building. Once again, the Tuesday spot is upon us. It is Thanksgiving Eve, and we are getting it in as we always do on this lovely Tuesday night. November 20th, 2012. D Slate in the building. The Tuesday spot on the D Hour Show. Let's go. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. It is another lovely Tuesday spot tonight. I got my brothers in the building. Oh, the brothers is in the building. The brothers of the D Hour Show. CK, my man Leo, we're in the building tonight, and it's time to get it in. All you singers, hip-hop artists, poets, authors, you want your music played on the D Hour Show radio network. You want to be interviewed on our network. All you have to do is email us at thehourshow@gmail.com. If you are a hip-hop artist, R&B artist, gospel artist, it doesn't matter. Contact us, thehourshow@gmail.com, and we will get you in the rotation on one of our shows, and we will definitely get it and try to get an interview set up with you on the show. Celebrities, if you're listening, yes, contact the D Hour Show so we can get it in with you and get in a wonderful interview. Speaking of that, because tonight is the Tuesday spot, and tonight we will be talking to the gorgeous, sensational actress Robin Lee. Is going to be in the building with us tonight. You know her for such hit films like 7 Pounds, National Security with Martin Lawrence, Deliver Us from Eva, and she's been in a slew of other things as well, so definitely make sure you tune in. We will be talking to the beautiful Miss Robin Lee tonight, so definitely make sure you guys keep it locked. Playing the hits, as usual, for the fit-in. Get it in where you fit in. Yes, we're playing the hits. All your celebrity artists and indie artists' hits will be playing tonight, so definitely make sure you keep it locked. Keep tuned in. D Slate, L-E-O, C-K in the building. C-K, what's good, brother?
Not much, D. What's going on, Elio? How my brothers doing tonight?
We chilling, man.
We in this.
That's what's up. It's our thing. We gonna get in tonight.
We like onions, bell pepper, and celery in dressing. We in it.
That's right. We go out
in
deep.
Elio, what's good, bro?
I mean, I'm just chilling, laid back. I'm waiting to get into the show. Last week was hot, and this week is going to be even hotter. I mean, we got some good things popping off, man. I'm looking forward to today.
Oh yeah, bro. And we're gonna be getting it in with the beautiful actress Miss Robin Lee tonight. So yeah, it's going down tonight.
Yes, we will.
And I have had a few people. I'm not sure if you guys have some as well, but I have had a few people post a few questions on Facebook for Real Men Talking tonight. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Real Men Talking is coming again tonight. You better get ready for it. We got some great questions, some great conversation about that tonight, as well as our lovely segment, CK's Top 10. You'll be hearing what CK's Top 10 is going to be tonight, and as well as tonight, they will try again to see if they can stomp D-Slate again tonight. It's time to stomp D-Slate with some trivia questions tonight. They stomped D-Slate last week, so, you know, one out of three is all right. You know, it wasn't bad. So, you know, the brothers are going to try to stomp D-Slate again tonight. We'll see what's going to pop off tonight. We'll see if it's going to go down on stomp D-Slate tonight. And, real quick, CK, what's good, bro? What's been going on around town?
Oh, not much. Well, we, you know, getting ready for Thanksgiving, pretty much. Trying to get ready for some of mama's banana pudding. I got challenged last night. Someone gonna tell me that their banana pudding's been in my mouth. I had to give them a screw face. I'm like, what? So nobody talking about my mama's banana pudding saying it's better than theirs. Nah. Mama's banana pudding is
If somebody else is trying to go up against mama's banana pudding, and they might have a little cooking, all you got to do is just sabotage their banana pudding. Take their box of wafers and put out a box of Oreos.
Right.
Sabotage their banana pudding. Sabotage it.
Take all the
wafers out their cookie box. Put in a bunch of Ritz crackers in it.
That's right.
I guarantee they won't like that. LEO, Thanksgiving's coming up, bro. What's the atmosphere like?
The atmosphere looks like I'm going to be house hopping this year. The dude is going away to Delaware to go with my daughter's mother's family this year. So I'm probably house hopping, so. House to house.
That's real. That's real. That's how you. And that's
places,
how you.
You know what I mean?
You're doing it real brother style. House hunting.
Right.
I mean, it's so many houses that we have an opportunity to go to during Thanksgiving. You take so much food home. You don't know what else to do.
And then that give me enough time to reconnect to the family that you ain't reach out to in a long time.
That's
to
real.
Just, you know, pop up and get a plate. You know, there's nothing wrong
that's
with
that. Right. And I'm gonna do a little house hopping myself, and it gives me enough time to go get me a brand new set of Tupperware. That's all it really does for me, you know. Give me a brand new set of Tupperware. It's time to take some leftovers home. That's real.
Four people out.
No doubt. Get it in. Well, you know, brothers, we're gonna get it in tonight. And right now, you know, before we bring our special guest in the building tonight, I definitely can't wait to get it in with her and talk to her about what's new, what's going on with her, and some of the things, the new things that she's working on. But we got a couple of hits we're going to play for you guys tonight. We got the Dungeon Family Generation X, Beautiful Blue. We also got, it's my man, Brian Angel from the hit group Day 26 with his single Radio. We're gonna be bumping that tonight as well. So get ready for some hits. Get ready to get it in with us and listen in as we talk to the beautiful actress Miss Robin Lee. We got Stomp D Slate, Real Men Talking, CK's Top 10. We got a whole lot more coming up a little later. We may even talk about alternative things that you can do with the leftover turkey. Yeah, we may talk about that tonight too. Alternative things that you can do with the leftover turkey. We also may talk about other types of meat that you can use other than the turkey. Yeah, we'll probably talk about that tonight as well. You know, for all the poor folks out there, we might be giving you guys some suggestions. If you don't want to get down with the turkey, we might have some other suggestions for you for Thanksgiving. Keep it locked. We got Dungeon Family Generation X Beautiful Bloom Tuesday spot. D-Slay, CK, and LEO. Hey, hey, don't go nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mental solitary confinement, solar botany, plants on consignment, southern water flow, instrumental pirate, was a roach among rats, now a tyrant, checking up the whole world, I'm vibrant, check the problems in my world, I'm smiling, funky DNA computer, new hybrid, they took my brain and traveled galaxies to hide it, absent-minded, far gone, looking back to the future from the boom like where the time went, sunshine in my thoughts, I combine it, bind it, then I change the climate, rhyming. Nothing compares to it. Skip the polarities. Let's have a good time. Enjoy the sunshine. Yeah, these is real rap. No punchline. We sip lemonade. Granddaddy's recipe. A piece of pecan pie laying on the shade tree. Hold a hand. Kiss and hugging on the front porch. All the kids running wild in the front yard. I'm digging the feeling. I'm feeling. Is you with me? Wait. Bring it back, like. Properly, don't like it in my arms too. Jones will leave you walking in the rain, but I'ma come through. Yeah, my Ambrose, we're in the LLA. I'm chilling with the Dungeon Family in the cosmos. We hit the quasars and race cars. Bobby Whitfield control the outer space while they dance with the stars. I scream clean with the comet, need a bigger wave bar. Now I think it's in my stomach, huh? The abdomen, the abdomen. It's gold, daddy, I don't know my name, cause I'm
like fresh glue on my dough. I'm feeling so brand new.
Turn me to whatever you like, babe. No matter
the Boston Film Festival's Best Actor Award. Still currently working on many other projects, and hopefully we will definitely get a chance to find out about that tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm D Hour Show welcome to the beautiful Miss Robin Lee.
Hi. Thank you
Hi,
for
Robin.
Having me. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm glad we got an opportunity to talk to you tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I have my co-host and my brother CK and Ellie on the building. CK, Ellie, you want to say something to Robin?
I'm just welcoming you on to the show. This is Ellie. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
And this is CK, and I just want to say thank you, Robin, for coming on, and I want to say hello to you as well. Love your work.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Robin, you worked, and I remember Half Plenty. You worked on the film Half Plenty. Now, what was that working on that first film like for you?
It was an amazing experience. It was the first film I'd ever done. It was an ad I answered through backstage. I didn't have an agent at the time. I was living in New York, and I just started acting, and I answered an ad in backstage and got called in for the audition and then had a callback and then another callback and eventually booked the part. And it was me and Tammy Catherine Jones and Chinoa Maxwell. It was the first film for the three of us. And Christopher Scottro was director. Yeah. Chris is a writer-director, and he'd kind of written a semi-autobiographical story about a weekend he'd experienced in D.C. over New Year's Eve. And we spent months just rehearsing because we didn't have that big a budget. And we were so well rehearsed, and we had such a small budget that every time, when we actually finally started shooting, we would only get about two takes for each scene, maybe three takes. But that's because, you know, that was back in the day of film, and not video. And film cost a lot of money, and we were working on a shoestring budget. So it was kind of like, you know, if you flub your line, sorry, that's the one that made it. So, but it was great.
Right.
It was an amazing experience for all of us. It was like our first film, and it went all the way to Toronto, and it went first to the Acapulco Black Film Festival. We played what's now the American Black Film Festival. It was then
right.
the Acapulco Black Film Festival. It was the very first year we opened
wow.
it. Warrington Hudlin had seen the film and brought us down, and you know he championed it along with Robert Townsend. And while we were down there, Babyface people got to see it, and then brought the film to Kenny and Tracy Edmonds, and they signed on as executive producers. And then we went to Miramax, and the Weinstein brothers picked it up. We went to Toronto Film Festival, and the Weinstein brothers picked it up from Miramax, and then we went to Sundance, and then we were released the next year. So it was
wow.
kind of like this whirlwind thing. Yeah, I know. All from a little ad in backstage. So you never know how you're going to get your break.
And that's wonderful
actors.
Because I know a lot of people usually do remember you know the experience with their first film, and it's so exciting
right.
for them. And it sounds like you had a really good experience with that.
I really did. I'm still friends with Tammy and Chinoa and Hill Harper to this day. I mean, we're all very close, and it's you know it was an incredible experience for us to have that, to share that together as
now,
well.
You had an opportunity to work with Will Smith twice. And
yes.
7 Pounds, as well as Hitch, two incredible movies. What was that experience for you?
Will is an absolute pleasure to work with. He is pretty much what you see is what you get. He's that personable in real life. I mean, it's
wow.
like, yeah, he's just charming and smart and friendly and approachable and eager and just the nicest guy. I mean, you understand why he's a movie star that he is, because he's just nice. He's genuine. He's sincere. He's like that with everyone. And, I mean, I think that really says a lot. I mean, yes, he's talented and he's attractive and all that other stuff, but I feel like how he is in person says a lot about his success. And I really think that kind of dictates it. And so often you get on these big films, and if there's an issue with the star way up top, it kind of trickles down. I mean, I really feel like the star sets the tone. And Will comes in the morning, and he comes in to make a trailer, and he's happy and laughing and making jokes, and everyone is just happy. And it's just a really positive, happy set to be on. So anytime Will Smith calls, I'm certainly up for the job.
I can understand that. I can definitely – if Will Smith called
but, I mean,
me and said, hey, look, if Will
right,
Smith called and said, hey, look, we need a, he said, if he said, hey, I need a brother to slap in this new movie, I'm going to slap you pretty hard. You know, that's what it's going to require in the movie. I'm going to say, hey, it's Will.
I'll slap you now.
I'll make sure I'm ready for the slap.
Right. But, I mean, like, not only is it going to be a blockbuster, but it's going to be a pleasurable experience, too. It's going to be a positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. CK, do you have any questions for Robin?
As an actress, has it been anything that you wanted to do that you haven't done? And did you have any struggles that you endured during your whole career so far?
Yes, I would say yes to both. I feel like what are things I haven't done that I'd like to do? I would love to do more period pieces. I've done a couple. I did a Hallmark movie years ago called The Runaway, which took place in the South in like the 1940s. And I just love being able to transform myself and live in another place and time and experience life as someone from a completely different background. I think most actors get into this business because, or many actors, I shouldn't say most, but many actors get into this business because they love to tell stories and they love to inhabit somebody else's clothes and to tell someone else's story. And I love that and I welcome it. I look at stars like, I don't know, Keira Knightley or Kate Blanchett and Gwyneth Paltrow. Those are actresses who get to do so many wonderful period pieces that I think, gosh, I wish there were more opportunities like that for actresses of color to do that, because it's like a fantasy to be able to dress up in those clothes and imagine yourself in another time period. And I would love to do more of that. I would love to do more period work, definitely. And as far as it being a struggle, I definitely think this is a struggle. I think until you've made it to the top, and even when you do make it to the top, you want to stay on top. I think you're always striving to do work that challenges you, to work with people who will raise your game, to work with the most talented writers and directors and other actors, to be with producers who are inspired to push you further and to try to get into projects that you might not be considered for. You might not be typecast as that. And I think it's always a struggle. I think it's always a struggle to do more, to do better. I mean, it's easy to get, you know, on a show and it does well, and you can spend 6 to 10 years on a show doing the same thing and you're itching for more. And I've never even had the luxury of that, but I know that actors who have, and they're just trying, they want to stretch, they want to do something out the box. And I think it's always a struggle to try to have people see you differently than they may see you and get those parts.
Okay.
Totally hope that helps.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. And I'm Robin, I was wrecking my brain trying to remember what the name of that Hallmark movie was, because I remember seeing that and I was like, I can't remember the name of it. But
The
Runaway. Yeah.
I did The Runaway, yes, I
remember seeing that. I was like, she was in that one film, the Hallmark movie, but I couldn't remember the name of it.
That's like one of my
first.
Yep.
Leo, you have any questions for Robin?
Oh yes, I have a few questions. First question for you would be, just judging by your background, which is a wide range and it's phenomenal, graduating from Yale, at what point in time did you figure out that you wanted to be on stage?
I'd always wanted to be on stage from the time I was very little. I used to ask my parents, like, how do you get into the TV? Like, that was, I don't know, something that had always attracted me. Like, I couldn't understand how people could, you know, back then, this is before flat screen TV, so, you know, TVs were like a box. So I'd go around the box
right.
of the TV and be like, how do they get in there? but my parents are both from Jamaica, and they have that immigrant mentality of, we didn't come to this country for you to become an artist, and we want you to focus on your education. So they really kind of steered me away from pursuing it professionally. And I would, like, write letters to the heads of NBC and stuff, like, how can I be on this show? And my parents were like, you know what, if you want to do theater, you're going to do it in school and, you know, just school plays and so forth and local gifted and talented drama programs. But they never really supported me pursuing it professionally. And even when I went to college, my dad said to me, we were driving up to Yale, and in the car, he said to me, don't think we're sending you to Yale to study drama. So I very much got the message that I was supposed to be doing something else. I majored in psychology, and when I came out, I thought, you know what, it's now or never, and I kind of made a deal with my parents that I would start, I would study and take the bar. I'm sorry, take the LSAT. I would study, take the LSAT, and apply to law school if I could pursue this dream I had of acting in New York. And so that's what I did. And
wow.
Everything kind of fell at the same time. I mean, it was the first week of law school that Half Penny got picked up by Miramax.
Wow.
And the entire time I was in law school, I was acting. And the second I finished, I took the bar in New York and then moved out to L.A. to continue pursuing it. And that's where I've been ever since.
Now, that is an amazing hunger for what you do. Now, did you have any type of interest in law?
Not really. No, I do and I don't. I mean, I do in that I'm very interested in politics and constitutional law and how this country is run and, you know, the laws that govern the United States. And so that was always very interesting to me and U.S. history in that way. And I was interested in entertainment law because I thought eventually someday I'd want to produce. I wanted to know more about the film business and entertainment law and contracts and so forth. And so those are things that were most appealing to me about law school. But I think kind of halfway through, I just knew that even though I would finish and take the bar, that I really had to give the acting thing 100% and give a California shot and see what would happen, or I would just kind of be like this hunger that was never satiated. You know when you know you're passionate about something and it's like if you don't follow that urge, that dream, you may just be unhappy. And you could follow it and it turned out to be not what you want to do, but at least I have to give it a shot. So.
Right.
That's how I ended up here.
Because I know you have the theater, I know it consumes a lot of your time, and then to be studying for the bar and preparing for that,
yeah.
And being in your book is
hard to
balance.
It was a lot. It was a lot to take on. But I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it the way I did it, too. I'm glad that I didn't put one off for the other. I kind of, you know, tried to do it simultaneously. And I had a role model. I had Hill Harper as a friend of mine, and was very much a mentor. You know, Hill went to Harvard Law School and was acting the entire time and came out and just pursued acting. And I knew him when I was applying to school, and, you know, he kind of just gave me advice as to what to do and, you know, how to stick with it and how to schedule your auditions around your classes and how to make good friends with people who can take notes for when you have to work. And you know, law school is a really grueling experience. It's nothing to be taken lightly, but it's definitely doable because there are, you know, people who go back after years and who have full-time jobs or families and are still in law school, you know, and they get it done in 3 years. So it can be done. It's just really applying yourself. So.
I really admire your dedication. Definitely.
Yeah.
I have one more question, if that's okay.
Yep.
Now, you have a wide background and how many, you know, productions and movies you've been in. And, y'all, I'm pretty sure you're comfortable with the celebrities you encounter, but has there been a celebrity that still wows you till today when you step on set with them?
Oh, I'm always wowed by celebrities. I'm kind of like a nerd in that way. I still get very impressed with other actors' work, you know. I worked with Don Cheadle in Hotel for Dogs. I had to go up to the side of the set and pinch myself, like, oh, my God, this is Don Cheadle. Like, and anyone who's, like, super, super talented, I'm going to be blown away by. I recently did an independent film called The Under Shepherd that will be out in the first quarter of next year. And it's an independent, and it was this cast of character actors that, like, unprecedented to me. It's Isaiah Washington and Lamond Rucker and Melinda Williams, Vanessa Bell Calloway, Elise Stiegel, Clifton Powell, Lou Gossett Jr., Bill Cosby.
Nice
it was
cast.
Just Keith David.
Wow,
I mean,
that's a really nice cast.
Right. It's when you're working with a bunch like that, you have to pinch yourself. You can't even believe you could be that lucky to be in a room, let alone allowed to act, to play with these other actors. And I'm totally in awe of them and their work. And it's wonderful to get to know them as people, but I definitely have that kind of, not starstruck, but I'm impressed by good acting. And that's always going to, I hope I never lose that. When I've lost that, it's time to leave the business, I think.
Mm.
So.
Thank you.
And
And I can really see me, you know, working with a cast like that, I can just see right between scenes just saying, man, that was a really great scene. Can I get your autograph?
No, you don't do that. At a certain point, you don't do that. I don't think I've ever done that on a set, actually.
Oh, my goodness. That's an incredible cast. I mean, I think I would be floored just working with that type of cast as well.
Yeah, it's a Russ Parr production, and Russ put together an incredible, incredible group of people who are all really passionate about the script. And he did an amazing job. I can't wait for people to see it. It's called The Under Shepherd, and it'll be out in the first quarter of next year. And it's powerful, and it's amazing. It's an amazing group.
Now, I know I wanted to ask the film "Deliver Us from Evil." That's a very interesting storyline. When you saw the script, what did you think about it?
I was drawn to it right away because it was rare, and it's still rare that you get to see these great film storylines, great family stories with people of color, specifically a black cast. Like, I was just like, you know, the person who gets this, if it's not me, it's going to be really lucky. And I found out that Gabrielle Union was going to be playing the role of Eva, and I'd admired her work. I'd seen it Bring It On at that point, and I think I'd see 10 Things I Hate About You, perhaps, or She's All That. And I was familiar with her work, and I knew that she was kind of this up-and-coming actress, but I love she had this, like, soulfulness about her and this strength and just very genuine and appealing nature that came across on film. And I thought, oh, my gosh, if I could play her sister, that would be amazing. So I went in, I read for it, and then I went back for the callback, and I got the part. And I have to say, the girls who played my sisters, Gabrielle and Essence Atkins and Megan Good, we are still close. And Gab and Essence are two of my best friends out here today. And it's been over 10 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And I'm now doing being Mary Jane with Gabrielle. So it's like everything's come full circle.
Oh, okay. Now, I wanted to know, too, like, her character, Gabrielle's character in the movie, I mean, do you actually know women that are like that?
As crazy type A. Yes. I went to Yale, and then I went to law school. So
wow.
I know lots of type A people. And I definitely can be that way myself. I'm not to that degree, but, I mean, you know, you camp it up a little bit for film, for entertainment's sake. But I definitely know a lot of type A people, and I can be guilty of that sometimes myself, probably more than I'd like to admit in a radio interview. So, yes, I do know. Not as ornery as Eva. How about that?
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, definitely. Now, I have a really good question. Thinking about a really hit blockbuster comedy, or a hit even horror film or fantasy adventure movie, three movies from those three genres that already came out, you know, it doesn't matter which year it was or which decade it was, that you would have loved to have been a part of.
Okay, name them again. Say it again.
A comedy, even a horror film and a fantasy adventure movie.
A horror film?
Or sci-fi.
Sci-fi, fantasy adventure. Oh, dear. I'm going to be bad at this. Let's see. Oh, gosh. I don't know. Oh, goodness. Oh, this is really tricky. God, okay. Fantasy adventure. I would say probably most recently, Avatar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think I've been a huge James Cameron fan since the Terminator movies.
I love his work.
But Titanic, which is not really fantasy, although it's kind of adventure, I would say Titanic. It was one of my, I will say, it's probably one of my all-time favorite films for when it came out and what it was when it came out. It's the only film I've ever seen four times in the theater. So I would have loved to have the opportunity to work with someone that detail-oriented and focused and with that great an imagination. Was Avatar perfect? Maybe not. I enjoyed Titanic more. It spoke to me more as a story. But I think the opportunity to work with someone who is that brilliant at what he does would have been a dream. And to live, and to see yourself living in that world, you know, like, I know it was just such a beautiful, incredible story to sit through. And I don't know about you, but I saw that movie and I'm like reaching out and trying to touch things that are not there. And like to see yourself, like I was, it's like for like Zoe Saldana or, you know, or another friend in there, Laszlo, just look on the big screen and be like, oh God, that's me. Like that's just, that's going to go down in history being part of that. Comedy. Maybe something like, oh goodness. Oh, there's so many. There's so many. Like Pretty Woman. I will say, I mean, yes, there's a lot to be said about the fact that she's a prostitute and she was a fairy tale ending. That's not really the prostitute story. But I don't think that movie comes on cable and I turn off the TV. Like, it's just one of those things that takes you back to when you first saw it. And just the magic of discovering Julia Roberts for the first time. And she was so darling, entertaining, and charming. And it was such a beautiful, unpredictable, unexpected story, and you just kind of get swept off your feet. And it is a little bit of the dream. It's like the whole Prince Charming thing that young women have, and unfortunately she was a prostitute, but still, the idea of just, you know, you never know when you're going to meet Mr. Right and how it's going to happen. And so, I love Pretty Woman.
Now, and the other one, are you a fan of horror films?
I'm not. Do you know
why? You know, LL Cool J was in a horror film. He was probably the only brother that survived in a horror film.
Was he in Scream? Exactly. One of those? Yeah. Okay. I did like the first couple of Screams, but you know what? I was the kind of kid when I'd see a horror movie and it would stick with me for years and years and years. Like, I still remember the original Friday the 13th, and there are things that I won't do because of that movie.
Kevin Bacon.
I thought, like, I don't even know. I don't remember the actors who were in it. Was he in it?
If it was the very first Friday the 13th, Kevin Bacon was in that.
I remember things about that movie. I remember one thing, a girl hiding in a bathroom stall, and who, I guess it was Jason, opened up the door and, like, chopped her, pretty much axed her in the middle of the head. Was that what it was? And there was, and there was another scene when there's a couple and they're, like, in bed and the hand, and I don't remember if it's the guy or the girl. I think it's a guy who's lying there, and a hand comes up from beneath the bed and holds his forehead down, and they shoot an arrow up under his neck.
That was Kevin Bacon.
Okay. So when I tell you that I checked under beds for about a good 15 years before I ever got into a bed, like, things like that stick with me. I was with you once that many years ago, and those scenes so specific to me. So yeah, I'm not a good horror movie person.
Now, I can understand that absolutely. Now I also read too that you were working on your first novel.
I am. Yes, I am. I did. I'm finished. Actually, I've completed it. It's come along well. I spent a good, I would say about 5 years and 9 months working on it, and I've got it with an agent right now, and he's out the publisher, so I've got my fingers crossed, and hopefully I'll have some good news soon, and a deal, and a release date, and all that good stuff. I can't talk about it too much right now because it's still kind of in the throes of happening. But, it was just something
can't
I started
wait.
Doing.
Definitely can't wait.
Yes, definitely can't wait. But it's something I started doing. I've always written just for pleasure for myself, and I started doing it, I don't know, 6 years ago, and it was one chapter, and it became another chapter, and I thought, you know what, I think I could finish a story and get it done, and it became this labor of love, and it was a thing that I loved it so much. I looked forward to the days that I wasn't working or I didn't have appointments, so I could just kind of sink myself into it. Yeah, so that's where that stands.
Now, do you have any new major film projects or any other film projects that are that you're working on, or even television projects?
I've got Being Mary Jane, which is for BET. We start shooting again in January. We shot the pilot in the spring in Atlanta, and we're supposed to start shooting again in the new year. It's a Mara Brock-Akil and Selene McKeel project. It's one of probably the most amazing scripts I read this pilot season. It was just such an incredible, incredible story. Mary Jane is played by Gabrielle Union, and she's this kind of single woman living in Atlanta. She is got her career together for the most part, but her relationships are not together, and her family stuff, and she's got drama going on. And it's just kind of like, I think, probably the most honest, complicated, real look that we've seen at a black woman's life in this day and age. And, you know, not sugarcoated, just very real and layered and subtle and beautifully, beautifully written, and I think beautifully realized. And so I'm really happy to be part of this project. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I've got that, and I've got another indie called Miss Dial that comes out. I believe it's coming out in March. I don't know the exact date yet. And it's a romantic comedy that stars me. I'm totally the lead of this movie. And it's with Sam Jaeger from Parenthood, who's amazing, and John Huerta from Castle. And it's this really interesting story about a day in the life of a woman who's one of these consumer affairs operators, phone operators, and it's done in the day in her life in which her relationship is falling apart, and she is kind of fed up with her job and just dealing with irate customers calling in all the time. And she accidentally makes a wrong, dials a wrong number and connects with a total stranger, and then spends the remainder of the day kind of playing hooky from work and purposely calling strangers to make a connection, and she meets a guy. And it's done in a really interesting way in that no two actors are in the same frame, if you can imagine that.
Wow. Well, I definitely can't wait to check. That sounds really interesting. I can't wait to check that out. Absolutely.
It's both Miss Dial.
I had John on the show and interviewed and had John on the show. He's an amazing guy. But he
Isn't he awesome? He can sing.
I was like, wow, we got an opportunity to play his music. But he's an amazing guy.
He's a great guy. We met years ago doing an actor's writing workshop here in L.A. where writers actually try to workshop their stuff, things that they're currently working on, and they have real actors kind of doing the material. And so I met him like that years ago. And so when we were casting for Miss Dial, I'm one of the producers on Miss Dial, when we were casting for this character, I thought of him immediately, and he was able to do it. And so it all came together. But I should say that with Miss Dial, because it's so many small parts, we use all of our friends, and so Gabrielle is in it, Hill Harper is in it, Dulé Hill is in it. We just cast a ton of people just making little cameo appearances, and it came out really, really well. I can't wait for people to see it.
Definitely. It sounds like a great cast. I know John's an incredible actor as well as yourself. So,
he is.
Yeah, I definitely can't wait to check it out. Absolutely. It looks like we have another caller on the line. Let's see if any of the callers got any questions for you tonight. Caller 215-510, you're on the Tuesday spot with Robin Lee. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Calling from Philly. My name is Dorn. How are you?
Hi, Dorn.
How are you doing?
Thanks for calling in. You got a question for Robin?
I just wanted to know, how was it working with Martin Lawrence in National Security?
It was amazing. It was my first, National Security was my first big studio film when I'd moved to L.A., and that was one of the kind of things, like, when you think about kind of being overwhelmed by the level of talent on the set the first time you meet them, and he was just a riot. He kept us all on our toes. He improvs a lot, and so it kind of forces you to be on your game, and it was just a lot of fun. I mean, he's a riot. He's hysterical. And, gosh, it seems like so long ago now. But it was fun. It was great working with him and with Steve Zahn, who plays my boyfriend. And the two of them, like, just to be in a room with the two of them when they're, like, going and they're at, you know, they're, like, on level 10. You just have to kind of bring your A-game. It was amazing. It was so fun. A wonderful experience.
Okay. Well, I want to wish you the best of luck and...
Thank you. Do you have a baby there? Is that a baby I hear?
Yes, my little daughter. I just had her.
Oh, congratulations. How old?
Thank you. She's a mom.
Oh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Doran. Thanks for calling in tonight, and thanks for tuning in.
No problem.
Now, Now, Robin, I want my last question for you. You know, I've also had many up and coming actors and a lot of you know, people that really want to make it pretty big in the acting business and entertainment business. You know, for those newbies, you know, for the up and coming actors that really want to be successful in this business, what's your experience in your career? What advice would you give?
I say to do your homework, be prepared, know your craft, get yourself in classes with a great teacher and other great actors so that you can learn from them, know what it is to what this business is about, get yourself some books on how the business itself works and how, you know, agents work and casting directors and how the entire process is, because the more informed you are, the better off you are. You don't want to be taken by surprise and you don't want to be taken in by any scams. But I think that so much of this business and being successful in this business is just luck. It's the right place, the right time, the right part, and having the right look. And when it all comes together, you have to have the goods. Like, if you've got the right look and you're in the right place, you need to have the talent to back it up. And I think just do your homework, study, get with the best acting coach you can get with, and never stop studying. I mean, I have a lot of actor friends who are still, you know, 20 years into the business. They still take classes. You still need to brush up on your craft, because you can get very much into the same bad habits. You can fall into the same bad habits. You can get lazy. You can stop asking yourself the questions you need to ask yourself as an actor, making the right choices, hot choices, and so forth. And so I think it's important that you just keep on practicing. It's
wow.
Like, you know, like being a lawyer and having to take CLE classes. I know you don't know what that means. I'm sure your audience is like, what? But, like,
right.
You can't just practice law. You have to take, like, you know, classes every once in a while to kind of be abreast of what's going on. And I think acting is like that. You get rusty. And if you're only doing one kind of thing all the time, you'll get rusty and you'll forget how to do the other things. And I think it's just important to do that.
Well, I think that's incredible advice, and I definitely hope all the up-and-coming actors and actresses that are listening are definitely taking heed to that and listening to all that advice. I think that's wonderful advice, so definitely thank you for that. Now, if anybody wanted to, see about, you know, some of the new things you're working on and maybe, you know, chat with you online, or what would be the best site to catch up with you on?
You can follow me on Twitter at Robin Lee, and Robin is RobinLee, or you can hit me up on Facebook, and I check Facebook obsessively, so I will definitely, if you leave me a message, I will respond, and it's whatever, www.facebook.com/TheRobinLee, it's RobinLee, and that's the best way to reach me now. And I'm a total social media junkie, so I will.
Now, are you also an Instagram fanatic too?
Oh, yes, I'm on Instagram. Thank you, at Robin Lee again on Instagram.
I know that's the new thing. I know everybody's on Instagram.
You know what?
Last
night at 1 a.m, I logged onto Pinterest too. So I will be on there eventually. Right now, there's nothing going on my page.
Yeah, I'm always having, you know, every time we have some guests on the show, they're always telling me, D, you gotta catch up with some of the new things. And someone just told me about Pinterest, so I'm like, okay, this is new. I said I haven't checked it out yet, but I'm definitely going to check it out.
There is a lot out there.
But
yes, so Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, those I'm pretty I'm on all the time.
All right. Well, CK, you have any closing comments for Robin?
I'm just impressed. I say thank you. Thank you for sharing this with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
No problem. It is a lot of people that really want to know, and you're down to earth. You're real. I love that about you. I appreciate this so much. Thank you for coming on. I truly do.
Thank you. Thank you. That's
LEO.
It's nice to hear. Thank you.
LEO, you have any closing comments for Robin?
Oh, definitely. I will. And thank you for coming on the show. And you definitely did inspire me. Being starting off as a theater major myself, now as an advertising agent, simply running into the same, you know, situations that you ran into as far
right.
as you know, parents and surroundings and having a secure security, because you definitely have to start in this business. But, you know, just seeing what you did to get what you wanted, I'm truly inspired, and I'm definitely going to push harder for what I want.
Well,
so thank you.
That's good. I like hearing that. I mean, if you're passionate about it, you know this is what you want to do, don't let anyone hold you down. Just keep on keeping on. Move forward, and it'll happen. It'll happen.
Definitely.
But you got to stick with it.
Well, Robin, I want to say you definitely inspired me as well. I've always wanted to be the first black werewolf on film. So I'm going to keep working on that.
Did you know that I did a guest starring episode on Buffy, and I played a vampire? Speaking of black werewolf.
Did you really?
I played a vampire. I had a whole fight scene, and I died and turned into dust. It was amazing.
I remember. And you know what? I got to say, that's one of my favorite shows of all time. Now you're going to make me go back and check that out.
Go back and look at it.
You're going to make me go back and check that out. I think I may have remembered you being on there as well, but I got to go back and check that out. Absolutely.
That might have been the first time I fell in love with a vampire.
It was really not pretty. If you could see the makeup, it was not attractive. But thank you.
Well, Robin, I just want to say it was a pleasure. We had a great time with you. It's a blessing to have you on the show with us tonight. And as far as we're concerned, at the D-Hour Network, you're not a guest anymore. You're definitely a family member now, and you're always welcome here.
Uh-huh.
And we'll continue to keep supporting you and everything that you do. And truly, truly a blessing to have talked to you. And we would love to have you on the show with us again.
I would love that. I would definitely love that. Thank you very much.
All right, Robin, you have a blessed night. And definitely, we're gonna be looking out for some of those new films that you're working on.
Please do, definitely, definitely.
All right, well, you have a blessed night, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Okay, thank you. Take care. Thanks a lot.
All right, too.
Okay, bye.
It's the Tuesday Spot. That was the sensational Miss Robin Lee joining us tonight on the Tuesday Spot. Had a wonderful time with brothers. Did we have a wonderful time with her?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I had fun.
We still CK had fun. LEO, it was inspired. D Slate was inspired. Like I said, I'm working on. I'm still pushing to be the first black werewolf out there in film industry. They say that when you see the werewolf films, they usually howl at the moon. No, come on, man. I gotta have flavor. I gotta have style. So when the full moon is out in my film, I'll be beatboxing to the full moon. See, y'all weren't ready for that. You weren't ready for that. I'm going to be beatboxing to the full moon, the first black brother werewolf. Tell him you ain't ready for it. It's going to be called Real Deal Moon. Hey, look, I'm telling you right now, y'all not ready for it. You're not ready for it. It's coming real soon. And I'm still working on it. I'm going to push it even harder, hopefully I can get, I might be able to get James Cameron to work on it for me. Oh, of course, he may change the name, but it's all good, though. As long as D. Slate, the first black werewolf, is in the film, that's all that matters. But we're going to work on that, though. We got more show coming up. We still got Stomp D. Slate. We still got CK's Top 10. We still have Real Men Talking. Oh, we got plenty of show coming up. When we come back, CK will be hitting you with his Top 10. Oh, it's going to get real on the Tuesday Spot. The Brothers of the D-Hour Show is in the building. D-Slate, CK, LEO. It's time we got to play some more music for you. Got a couple more hits for you in this quick hit break. It's my man D-Shabo with Bright Light right here on the Tuesday Spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the city of bright lights, the only city with a microphone in the sky, Dallas. Real music. I go by the name of Bebe, a.k.a. Mr. A. Bebe, a.k.a. Mr. I Say Popping Tags, BKA, the Governor by 20. Allow me to introduce y'all to my homie, D-Chavo. The best that ever did it and got away with it.
When he calls me,
Everybody round town, they know who we are. Top shelf, nigga, ain't nothing but me regular. Cutting $1 million deals up on that cellular. Flashing lights, now close your eyes and picture me. Pushing foreign V's and rocking Christian Louis V's. Street approved, so I rock and rep that silverback. I even got some 28s up on that Maybach. Sipping pina colada, eating something that's proper. Spanish girl on my lap, she be calling me papa. She be draped in that Prada, love that when I'm inside her. I tell her ain't no outer, she love me like a father. I'm the chavo, man, that means money, man. It ain't for me in a week to spend $100,000. Please believe me, man, I seen it, homie, done it all. I'm a true definition of a real boss.
For the done. Call me young boss for all the that I run. Ready for the world, earth, wind, and fire. 5-year run, now the kid can retire. Ball like the best, I'm a true all-star. Jumping out fresh, people know who we are. Call me hood rich and I take it how it come. Blue and white diamonds got me shining like the sun. Taking vacation 7 days on the ocean. Bad Brazilian rub me down with the lotion. Live every day like it's probably my last. Can't take the with me, so I blow money fast. Diamonds and pearls for my precious little girl. My eat greedy get to fly across the world. Everything free and it's all on me. Just the life and bright lights is all I can see. Jeez.
I'm the word around town, but I don't hear it cause I'm downtown underground. Eating 5-star meals, trying to gain a couple pounds with a 5-star chick, sipping wine a couple rounds. The bartender sexy, she feeling my style. I'm feeling the smile and I think that she may be wild. I'm hardly ever nervous, I stay in front of a crowd. People looking at me funny, it may be cause of the loud. Kush cologne scent, they're pushing long scent. Say what you want about me, you can put your own print. Instead of speaking out, I'd rather let the song vent. It take the right amount of words and not the wrong content. The weather feel good, temperature quite right. You really wanna see the city take a night flight. So you can see the different colors like a night bright. We call it the triple D, big buildings and bright lights.
have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back to Tuesday Spot on the D-Hour Show. You already know the brothers of the D-Hour Show is in the building. D-Slate, CK, and LEO getting it in for the fit-ins. You just got through listening to Latasha, formerly from the group Escape, with her new solo single, Bad Timing. Oh, yeah, you already know. Hit after hit. We got more hits coming up a little later in the show, so don't go nowhere. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the segment that we get down on every time on the Tuesday Spot. My brother, CK, getting it in right now. Are you ready for it, ladies and gentlemen? It is time for CK's Top 10.
All right. All right, we're going to get it in tonight. All right, now, first and foremost, I just want to say, we're going to take it cool this week because it is Thanksgiving. And my top 10 is going to be why I like Thanksgiving. Well, should I say not like, why I love Thanksgiving. Number 10, this is the best time after everything's been over, the cooking, the talking, the spreading around, looking at who's grown, who's old, who's not. We get to sleep. That's the best. Because after all that food, I'm going to have to itis. I'm going to go out. I'm going to be put out. I'm going to be out on that couch. I'm going to be right in that bed, one or the other, or in that chair. I don't care. I'm going to be flat out. Belly poked out. Zip on buttons. You know how we have to get it. With the TV remote control in my hands, with the TV watching us, I'm going to be asleep. I don't know about y'all, but I will be asleep. And then after I get done, I'm going to get some more food. But that's number 10. Number 9, watching the football game with the men in the family. See, in my family, after we got done eating and everything, it was always time for that football game. And, you know, this is just the whole impact of all the men together. You know, you don't see black men or men in general come together like that. So it's just a thrill that, you know, had that bond time. Number 8, sitting around at the dinner table talking about the past of both sides of the family. Now, I always got to enjoy this because I always hear about what my grandmother did, how my grandmother on my other side did, as opposed to my grandfather and my grandfather on this side of the family, and all the uncles and aunts and my mother and father and everybody else that ain't coming between. So those are the best times I love because you don't get to share those family moments nowadays because more and more for the modern family, it's an in-and-out situation. Everybody be so busy, you have to stop and get something to eat and then go about your way. But this is the best time to sit around at the table, bring back those good times. Number 7. This would have been number 1, but, you know, I had to really just put this here. Eating. Yeah, I know y'all don't get enough of that. We don't get enough of that. Mm-hmm. We're going to be having plates stacked up like we at the Thanksgiving is our Chinese buffet, minus the Chinese food. It's the black food buffet. We're going to pile our plates up to the top of the roof and make sure we have enough to eat, and then go back and get some more. You'll never get enough done. You'll never get nothing. enough of eating. You will have food. I mean, food will be all over the place. You will have food. You have enough to feed a homeless family out there in the street. Bring them in. Eating will never be a problem. Moving on to number six. Before we get into the evening, first and foremost, I have to do this. I have to see who's bringing the dish so I know if I want to eat that or not. Y'all remember the movie Who Made a Potato Salad?
It's real.
I gotta watch who made the dressing, who made the potato salad, who made spaghetti, who sweet potato pies those are. I don't eat everybody's cooking, I'm just gonna make that clear. And some of my family members are cool, but they just don't know how to cook like my moms do. But you have to, and I know we all have that one family member that bring that one dessert, that one dish that just like every year they bring that same damn dish. D, Elio, I know y'all got that. I got that one family member, right?
Yes, indeed. It's a green dish. It's a green dish with a blue top. I remember.
And then you be like saying yourself, don't they bring something different every? Why don't they bring something different? They gotta bring the same damn thing every damn year. How look at this? Oh, but okay. Then going on to my next one, which is number five. You know, women always saying stay out their kitchen, but then again, I don't mind helping out in the kitchen because, you know, when you're helping out in the kitchen, you get to sample the food. And you get all to hear all the good juicy stuff that you don't get to normally hear that the women be talking about by the men. So helping out in the kitchen is not a bad thing, you know. You know how to pull the strings on that one. Now, number four, this is one of my favorites. This is one of the traditions that started, like, I guess you'd say when I was about 11. It was Thanksgiving 1992. And my brother and I was just sitting around playing Super Mario Brothers 3 while my mom was cooking. And he was a grown adult. I was like about 11. And just the whole point playing the video games with my brother, my son, even my nieces, I have a whole truck full of nieces, so, you know, they get in on the game, talking about what this and what that's going on. And it's a fun thing, you know, and that's just, you know, something to kill a little time while the food's being prepared, while everything, before everybody gets there. So, you know, that's kind of fun. And then moving on to number three, greeting everyone. I mean, it's good to greet everyone because it may be the last time you ever get to greet them. So it's always good to see them, see how they're doing, seeing what, you know, what's going on in their lives, because you may not have been able to talk to them all year round like you want to, but just appreciate them, you know. Show that love, you know.
I greet them when they come in and leave. Because if somebody try to walk out with, some of my sweet potato pies, that's their ass. I'm telling you right now.
All right. I ain't mad about that. I have to check a few family members too. So that's greeting is always good. You might want to check the pockets, do a metal detector with everybody, just make sure you ain't still no aluminum or nothing like that. Yeah, I know you got a metal detector around your doorway, so when family come in, they come out, you know, and make sure they ain't took all the good, you know, good dishes, and, you know, you got to make sure y'all silverware is still there too. That's another thing you got to make sure when you're greeting everyone. I know I have to make sure that all the best china, all the best silverware put out, and bring out the paper plates, the plastic forks, the plastic spoons, the paper cups, just to make sure that the good stuff don't get broken. All right, number two, my favorite. My mama's banana pudding. I know I've been talking about it since yesterday. Yes, yes. But mama's banana pudding is the stuff. I brought it to her attention. My niece brought it to her attention. Her brother brought it to her attention. Guess what mama doing this week? She makes some banana pudding. I'm getting my own sub, so, you know, hey. Ain't nothing like some homemade banana pudding. I ain't talking about that J-E-L-L-O, box it, blender, banana pudding. No, I'm talking about you get your flour, your evaporated milk, your sugar, your other milks, other water, everything that makes that pudding, what it is pudding, dip it in, layer it with the bananas and the vanilla, wafers, D. I got you this time.
Well, there's and nothing wrong with the banana jello pudding.
I feel it's cool, but it ain't like mama banana pudding. Mama banana pudding's the stuff. I mean, I don't know, when I was a kid, my first time I really got into it, because I guess before five, I really wasn't really all interested in food like that too much. But it's just something about that pudding smooth and goes down and you be filled up like, man, nobody want no more of this. I'm taking it. I'm hiding it. My brother walks in the door and the first thing he says, all right, who banana pudding? I know I'm taking some, whoever banana. I'm like, dude, we're going to be fighting tonight because that's fighting words talking about taking my banana pudding, you know. But I try to share with the family, even though I don't want to, but, you know, it's okay. So, you know, I'm going to have to sit with Mama and learn that recipe because I know Mama ain't going to always be here, but that banana pudding, man. Now we come down to the number one. Top 10 reasons why I love Thanksgiving. Being with the ones that I love the most, and that's family. As much as we can't stand each other, we pull each other's hair, put our business out all over the internet, talk about it to our friends, cousins, whoever else, we still love each other. And that's the most important thing about family.
That is so loving and touching, CK. I mean, I can understand where you're coming from. I really do. Me, myself, I can't stand to be around their ass for nothing but a damn hour. Cause they be getting on my goddamn nerves. So, get out of my damn house. And in my house, you can best believe, I don't have no metal detector. It's my damn food detector. So, when they try to walk out with extra stuff, oh, you can best believe it let me know. Oh, it lets me know big time.
Right. But that's most important, family. So, yeah, these are my top 10 reasons why I love Thanksgiving.
There it is. CK's top 10 reasons why he loves Thanksgiving. And, you know, I know right now, you know, Bill's not too happy that, you know, we're not favoring the Jell-O pudding, you know, banana pudding. It's okay though, Bill. I mean, I've had it before. It's decent, you know. If you hook it up the right way, it's all right. It's not bad. But you know, there's nothing ever wrong with homemade. Trust me, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
As we go into this holiday. You know, they got Black Friday coming up after Thanksgiving. So actually, it's going to start a little bit on Thursday. Some of the stores are going a little early this year, and they're going to start. I'm telling you right now, Black Friday is got to be one of the most barbaric rituals I've ever seen, because people get in the stores, and I swear, it's every man and woman and child for themselves. I'm telling you right now, don't nobody give a damn if you a woman, if you a kid. I just seen kids get knocked over, people getting pushed, getting knocked the hell out the way. I mean, I done seen some really barbaric stuff, real bad, just horrible stuff going on during Black Friday. And I just want to take this time right now to apologize for a lot of the things that I've done during Black Friday. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. This is a hell of a fire sale, brother. So I just want to apologize for some of the things I've done myself during Black Friday. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, it's a Tuesday spot. It's the brothers. You know how we get it in. D Slay, CK, LEO. We got Real Men Talking coming up next. Oh, yeah, we about to get real with it. Real Men Talking. We're going to get down and dirty with some questions from the listeners, and we're going to answer them, and we're going to give you our real answers. When we come back, Real Men will be talking. We got hit. My man Dwelle featuring Raheem Divine with What You Gotta Do right here on the D Hour Show Tuesday Spot. Let's go.
joint. What she gotta do? I should get right on this joint.
Come and slide, 7:45 when we ride, graffiti be fresh, yet interesting to be in my mistress. You're not feeling any different. You said they call you L for short. I like that. Women on my dreams, yeah, I'm about to have a night now. Wake up beside her, having a nice night, like whatever we did before we slept. Yeah, twice that. You gotta feel me, she's super to kill. With a body so ill and a swag so ill. Damn girl, you're killing her. The way she clean up, she makes up look silly.
Girl, you fine as hell with no makeup on. I think I wanna make the scene. Woman of my dreams, woman of my dreams. Please remember me when I wake up. When I wake up, woman of my dreams, woman of my dreams. Please remember me when I wake up. When I wake up. I wanna see you. Tell me why you wrapped in her sheets and your background sky blue. Laying like a model, showing a little thigh too. Perfect portrait, like, damn, I gotta buy you. No makeup on in your hair, did I can say you sexy, but dead look apparent with the woman of my dreams who I'm staring at. Baby, you can ride, I'll drive, staring in. You gotta scare me, she's too chill. With a body so ill, and a swag so ill. Damn, girl, you on point, let it chill. Your body fine wine.
Welcome back to the spot in the building, playing the hits, B-Slate, CKLEO, getting it in for the fit-ins tonight. Oh, yeah, you already know how we do it. That was my man Graffiti Fresh with Woman of My Dreams. I already know how you get down, Graffiti Fresh. Thanksgiving's coming up. I might debut my new song, Turkey Drumstick of My Dreams. But, that's only for the Thanksgiving fans. I might put it out there, coming this coming week. You guys may get a chance to hear that. And also, I told you guys that, you know, we're going to be giving you guys substitutions of what you can do, if you don't want to make traditional turkey and you don't want to spend too much money. Look here. You can go buy you about 6 or 7 cans of Spam, okay? Take the Spam. Make sure, you got it out, And Spam can be a little soft. Take the 6 or 7 cans of Spam, mold it all together, and then form a turkey-looking type bird mold
of the spam. Then you pop it, then you put some, you know, whatever you want to put on it, pop it in the oven for about, I'd say for about probably like 30 minutes to 40 minutes, and boom, you got yourself a spam-like turkey for Thanksgiving. Now, it might not quite taste like turkey, but, hey, you know, it would definitely do the trick for those that don't want the traditional turkey. Spam-like turkey. Yeah, look up the recipe. You know, you may be surprised. You may be surprised. Now, ladies and gentlemen, getting it in as usual, it is now time for us to kick off our lovely segment we like to call Real Men Talking. Real Men Talking with D Slate, L-E-O-C-K. Oh, yeah, we about to get it in for you. It's time for this. It's time for these real men to get it in for you guys. We got some great questions that was asked, you know, for us to talk about tonight for Real Men Talking. So I think I might go first for one of the questions that was asked of us for Real Men Talking. And I'm gonna do it to you guys like this. I'm gonna do it to you like this. And it was interesting. We had some, you know, some pretty interesting questions that were asked of us tonight. The first one is by my man, my boy Kano the Pyro from HME Radio. The question was, how to reset boundaries when being together and living for a while? So how to reset boundaries when you've been living together, you know, for a while, you know, with your woman or with your man, you know, how to reset boundaries. CK, what you think about that?
If we've been living together for a while, setting boundaries, I mean, that should have been, I would say that should have been one of the first things that before when we first moved in together. I just can't say we can't wait till we get into the relationship way later on and then start setting boundaries. That should have been like, hey, that's how this works. This is how you do it. This is how I do it. I mean, or you can look at it like this, and it's something that can gradually move into the surface over a course of time. I mean, it's kind of hard to put boundaries when you've been used to each other's ways for so long. I personally feel that some stuff should have been made clear from the beginning, and some stuff probably can be smoothing out. But to come in right after being together so long, no, it wouldn't work out that way.
No doubt, no doubt. Leo, what you think, bro?
I don't think there's one specific remedy for this, or if there is a remedy for this, because once you're already set in stone within a relationship and you've been living together, you already established those grounds by living together and getting to that point emotionally, mentally, and then to regress back, it's kind of hard and it's a hurt piece. So the remedy, I don't think there really is a remedy for that besides heartache, because somebody's going to be hurt in the situation. Somebody has to pull back. Something has to stop in order to go back. Not necessarily, you know, stop loving the person and stop caring for the person, but, you know, things start to regress. I wouldn't say connection dies down, but, you know, maybe communication will probably be key in that situation. Just being able to talk and understand each other to its fullest and extent, to really understand where both sides are coming from, and maybe a step back would be necessary. But communication would be key to that.
Right.
No doubt. Well, y'all know your boy D Slate. Y'all know how I get down. I say the things that people don't really want to hear. It says how to reset boundaries. Look, it's really simple. Now, yeah, you've been living together for a while. You know, you've been and sometimes, you know, you have those boundaries set. You know, you know, when you started living together and being in that relationship and different things like that, sometimes we have memory lapses. Sometimes we tend to forget. And at that point, you know, brothers, you tell your woman, look, baby, we need to talk. Women, you tell your man, look, we need to talk. And you say, look here, I've been noticing that you've been having memory lapses and you've been forgetting our boundaries. And, you know, you've been getting a little too carried away with it. And I'm really getting tired of you forgetting. So it's, at this time, we need to reset our boundaries so that way you can understand what's going on and what we've agreed on in this relationship with working, you know, we're working with each other and working together to make this relationship great. So, you know, we have to reset our boundaries again so that way there's no more memory lapses. And then that way I won't have to wait until you go to sleep to whoop your ass. So that way I really don't want to have to do that. So let's reset these boundaries, you know, so that way we're really feeling good about the relationship. You know, and it's just that simple. You know, it's nothing hard to it. It's nothing hard about it. You just reset them. You know, you let them know. You know, you let the individual know that you're involved. And look, you know, it's been kind of tight lately. So I think it's time for us to sit down and reset these boundaries again. You know, I noticed that your batteries is getting kind of low. So it's time to recharge and reset these damn boundaries because you're slipping. I mean, it's just, you know, it's nothing hard about it. You know, you just got to let them know. I mean, when you're up front like that, people respect that. You know, people respect that. Leo, you got one?
Oh, yes, I got a couple. Let's take this one. You know, you're seeing somebody for a while and you're starting to dig them a lot. This is actually a question from Kelly at work. And I'm just going to set the scenario. So you're basically digging a certain person for a certain amount of time, and you're getting, you know, really acquainted, and things are starting to progress. But then you find out that she's pregnant. Now, would you be able to continue dating her, knowing that she's pregnant, knowing her situation? She's not with the father anymore or anything like that, but she's pregnant with this child. Could you continue a relationship with her?
Now, were you already in a relationship with her?
No. Can you pursue her? Rather, that'd be the flip side to it. Either it's a situation where you're in a relationship with her or pursuing a relationship with this person. No matter of fact, you're in a relationship. Go ahead. You can keep it like that because you know, if you're not in a relationship, there's no ties. So you're tied into the relationship with that.
But she's pregnant by somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. First of all, if there's a man out there that's dating a woman, that's in a relationship with a woman who's pregnant with somebody else, then I need to call a meeting of the Real Men Association. We need to get that man down to the local office, and we need to have an intervention with him because he done lost his damn mind. I don't know. You know, I think in that situation, I think that's really kind of a powder keg, man, if you think about it, because, I mean, you're in a relationship with this woman, and let's say you guys are really starting to get into the communication with each other of what you're looking for the future, and if you want to have kids with this woman, then now you're a little bothered because she's pregnant with somebody else's child. You're wanting that child to be yours, so it's like, you know, it's almost like a catch 22. It's like you know you're just like, damn, you know. I'm with this woman. I have deep feelings for her, but man, she's pregnant with somebody else's child,
And because of that, now you don't know what the situation is. This dude could decide he want to be in the child's life, so now he's definitely going to be coming around. So that's going to bother you even more. I don't know. I really don't know whether or not I would be able to continue to pursue something like that. And if I ever got down like that, and if I ever was involved in something like that, I would like to let all the brothers in the Real Men Association know, please, put on leather gloves and smack the hell out of me. You know?
Learn it right. So what about you, ZK?
Okay. Before I answer my question, I just want to get to understand. They've been in a relationship together, but she got pregnant and outside of their relationship, right?
Not necessarily outside the relationship. More so, like, okay, she just got out of something. She didn't know she was pregnant yet, and you got to know this person. Let's say it doesn't take that much time to get a good feel for a person, but, you know, a month into it, you know, she missed her period. She's a little late. She take a pregnancy test. She find out that she's pregnant. Now, you already caught feelings for this girl. You already see this girl, you know, being in your circle. So how do you deal with that, basically?
Okay. Gotcha. Me personally, I take any situation in consideration. Before, I probably would have to go down to the Real Men Association, have a real deep intervention with a couple of rubber gloves, will, you know, just get slapped back and forth. But I will sit her down. I will sit him down. I would be like, I need to know what's the deal. Are you all still got a thing for each other? Or do I know where I need, so I can know where I stand personally. I know I have feelings for you, but my feelings can't grow with you if you're still growing with this person. And then on top of it, y'all have a common interest, this child. So I would have to communicate with them both first. And then when I finally know the truth, which hope they give me the truth instead of false pretenses, saying something just because they just want to get it passed. But I would say my decision there. If they still, I would say like this, if they still got feelings for each other and they really want to work on being with each other for a bit, I'm going to step back, let them do their thing. I know my feelings are there. I have to cut my feelings off. Because the more I get my feelings into it and the more they're feeling each other, the more deep it's going to get, the more drama it's going to become, more problems going to be. So it's just best that I need to know what the hell is going on with y'all, first of all. And if they're not feeling each other like that, they can't stand each other, and he's just saying, oh, I'll be there for my child when you need whatever. I see this guy's in the picture, and he wants something with you, and he wants my baby in his life too, so I can respect that. So either way, you know, we got to know where the situation is. So systems blows down, know what the hell they want, and they have to be truthful with each other. All three of them have to be truthful.
Definitely. Let me take a spin at this. Only in its rarest cases could I ever see myself in a situation like that. To answer the question, I would say no. Out of concern about my feelings and as well as that child's feelings, not necessarily the mother's. That's not to be harsh at all, but I'm just thinking in the sense of once that child gets older, that child's going to want to know who his real father is. And then I would have to deal with that, and I would have to be encountered with that. And even if I did take that step up and being in a relationship with this person, I'm going to get attachments to this child, and I'm going to take on this child. You know, you're basically saying that I want to be the father of this child, regardless of anything, regardless of their situation, period. I wouldn't want to be in the midst of all of that. It probably would hurt the girl feeling, because, you know, y'all already, you know, started to progress in a relation and started to gain feelings for one another. But I don't think it'll be the smartest decision to make to involve yourself in that way, knowing that a woman has a child by another man. I'd rather that other man step in and try to, you know, men things with the mother or either establish things with the mother. And once they figure that thing out, you know, possibly we could have some later down the line, but I'll probably keep it as friends, I'm going to be honest.
So sad. Yeah.
No doubt. CK, you got one?
Yeah, I'm going to... This is good. I'm going to take it from my one friend, Shakita. She's like, why would some couples who have been with each other for a very long time, like 10 years or more, don't want to get married? I personally feel like with me, with knowing that question, I think a lot of times when you've been with someone for over 7 years, you know, it's that kind of law of marriage, but in some states they don't consider that as a real marriage. In other cases, people get real comfortable with being with someone so long as they're like, I think they fear like if they do get married, they're not going to switch up and change and it's going to be something totally different and people are going to, it's just going to be a different thing. So it's a comfort zone not to get married after so long being together. But I think if you've been together that long, why not step up? Why not take that shot? Because it's the right thing to do.
D-Slay, you want to take a stab at it, because I can go in right now if you want me to.
I'm gonna take a stab at it real quick. I'm just gonna say this. I think that what happens is a lot of times too, when couples are together that long and if they decide not to get married, I think a lot of times what happens is that the clone version of themselves die off, and the real them comes out. And I think what happens is that over time, you know, and it takes a little bit longer time to really get to know somebody, but I think over time, the real you start to come out. And I think in that beginning stage, you know, people are like, yeah, we're going to get married, this and that, you know, we're living together. Then after some years go by the living together, you start realizing like, man, hold on, wait a minute. What the hell? I didn't know that she put this old nasty mess on her face before she get ready to go to bed. And she thinking, I did not know that I did not know that his drawers look like that. And I did not know that his nasty ass likes to fart in the bed like that. Well, you know, all this stuff started to come out, you know what I'm saying? All the things start to come out, and now the man and the woman are thinking like, whoa, hold on now. And then you start reevaluating like, do I want to spend the rest of my life with this person? So I think that's usually what's going on in a situation like that. You start to really get to know that person, the real person, and then you have to decide, you know, whether or not you want to spend the rest of your life with them.
Let me take a spin at it. I think it doesn't take too long to get a feel for someone, and it'll take a whole lifetime to get to know somebody into its entirety, and you still won't know everything about that person. So
that's
like,
real.
In the beginning of a relation, and you see the truth in the beginning, but you're blinded to a lot because it's fresh, because it's new. I think within the first few years, you know if you want to marry a person or not. And if you choose to make that decision, you do. But when the time progresses, it's sort of like, okay, those flaws that you see in those first couple of years, I'm like, I don't really know if this is right for me. But after so long, it's like, okay, I might as well stay here because I've been here that long. And then years and years and years go on. And people just settle. Now, that may not be every case, but or people may still have that new anxiety saying that, oh, I don't want to, you know, end my life here. Once I get married, my life is over. But, I mean, it's situational. It's situational. 7 years into it, I think you should already be married. 3 years in it, I think you should already be married. Because you should already
That's
know
real.
where you want to go. Because right now you're just wasting time. And technically you're living in sin. You know?
That's real, bro. That's real. No doubt. No doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, the segment, the realest, what we like to call real men talking. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get to some of our callers today. We, you know, we kind of went in with our special guest tonight. But next week on Real Men Talking, I promise, we're going to so some of our callers, definitely make sure you call in. We're going to get it in with you guys on Real Men Talking. The brothers get real with it. And you know, L.E.O., C.K., you know, your boy D. Slade, we like to get real on Real Men Talking and answer a lot of the questions that are asked of us, before we come on the air. But absolutely, you know, we do it like that every week on the Tuesday spot on Real Men Talking. So make sure you tune in next week for it. And we're going to be getting it in with some other great questions. Right now, it's time to close it out. And I just want to take this opportunity to really thank our special guest, the beautiful Miss Robin Lee, for joining us tonight. And we had a wonderful time with her. And she's definitely an incredible talent and definitely can't wait to see what she's got up and coming. And, you know, again, to you guys for tuning in to us all the time. And we love the D-Hour Show fans. And I told you guys every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday, you never know who's going to be on the show. So make sure you tune in. We may have some Nod Your Head Wednesday for you guys tomorrow. There will not be a live Celebrity Thursday this Thursday because of Thanksgiving. And you know, there may be an Indie Up Saturday this Saturday. We'll let you guys know. But coming back next week, starting on Sunday. Oh yeah, we all full week. We come. No doubt. I kind of hate the fact that the man likes to try to silence me all the time, you know, when I'm talking about stuff. But the man, you kiss my ass because the freedom of speech is so strong. I'm going to keep on coming. I got redial, and I'm going to keep it coming. I'm going to keep it coming. 4 more years, baby. That's all you need to understand. I just want to say that, you know, we had a wonderful time tonight, and just keep tuning in. You never know who's going to be on the show. And, you know, thanks for all our listeners and all our fans. As always, your boy D. Slate. CK, closing comments for the peeps?
Well, I was informed to let you know that someone beat you to the punch about being the first black werewolf because Michael Jackson was the first black werewolf. But
oh, well, I don't know, man. You know, it's still a debate with Mike, man, so I don't know. We have to talk about that one.
But he only did it for a music video. You trying to do it for an actual movie.
There it is. You know, I just want to give the people, you know, a natural werewolf cat. Well, we'll talk about that next week.
We will. I just want everybody to have a safe, happy Thanksgiving. If you got some sweet potato pie, some cranberry sauce, a little bit of yams, some leftovers, please stay a plate for me. I do collect Tupperware portions, so yeah. And you got some homemade banana pudding that your mama put her foot in and made it from scratch. I bet you'll do
it. There it is. CK will be at your door, so the banana pudding better taste good. It better taste good. L.E.O., closing comments for the peeps?
Closing comments will be, you know, happy holidays. Definitely live every day optimistic. Shout out to my brother's girlfriend who called in, Dawn, and my niece, Lauren. Shout out to my daughter, Peyton, and everybody else on the D-Hour show. I want you to enjoy your holiday, and much love from L.E.O.
No doubt, ladies and gentlemen. Much love from the brothers. Please enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday. And ladies and gentlemen, most important, please be safe. please be safe. If you feel like you got to get your drink on, don't get your dumb ass in the car. Just you can walk, you can take the bus, you can take a cab, but don't do anything stupid. Just please be responsible. Please enjoy your holidays. Enjoy family. Enjoy love. Enjoy some juicy turkey, because dry turkey is a bitch. You really don't want none of that. Enjoy the juicy turkey, I'm telling you right now. And if you don't like dry turkey, I told you, you can get you some ham, some spam, some possum, raccoon, however you get down. You know what I'm saying? Please enjoy the other white meat for Thanksgiving. Have a ball. Have fun. God bless. D Slate CKLEO, the Tuesday spot. Hey, hey. We'll see you guys next time.
Deuces.
Good night.
Tell me who the hottest in the town. Reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet. Giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the burbs. So yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend. And 10 minutes later, the same song spins. It's the D-Hour Show. Yeah, I said it so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. The top aboard the starship, hottest spaceship, showing love to underground. Oh.